Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Brother Lamar's not in here, is he? I was going to tell him the water of the Alabama River is very cold. We had life jackets on, but it was cold. My son, who's a teenager, didn't realize that a canoe would turn over so easily. He had never, I guess, been in one. And so every time he would rock a little bit, I said, son, quit moving, quit paddling so hard. And he realized it after we turned over. He said, Daddy, we're not getting back in this canoe again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11 is where we're going today. I want to talk to you about the better glory. The better glory. I suppose there's always a temptation to look back. To look back at the past and for us to imagine what it was like then, and then look at the present and say, back then was better than today. Especially if you find yourself in a difficult place this morning, it's real easy to look back and say it was a better place. You know, as we grow older, we wish we could be young again. As our children leave the nest, we kind of wish they, you know, wish they were still around at times. If we enjoyed our earlier years at home or maybe at college or wherever it may have been, sometimes we dream of reliving those again. I am coming up on my 35th high school anniversary. You know what? I don't like anniversaries. Reunions. High school reunion. And I, you know, people say, those were the happy days. These are hard days. People say, those were the good times. These are the bad times. People even say, things were better then. Things are worse now. Living in the past is something I want you to think about this morning because it can be deadly spiritually. If we spend too much time thinking on the past, we may miss what God is trying to do in our life today. We end up dreaming about what used to be instead of giving thanks on what we have. And so this morning, as we think about that, I want you to know that the devil knows all about what we're talking about. That's why he uses perhaps our memory sometimes to trip us up spiritually, to trip us up and yearn for yesteryear. If only he can get us to desire what used to be, he can distract us from what God wants for us now. And that's the background of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That's what Paul is essentially dealing with a little bit, you could say. A group of false teachers had convinced these Christians that it was better to be from Moses. The law of Moses was better. From all of those things in the Old Testament was better than this one Jesus. And so they were trying to convince the Christians of that. The glory of Moses and the glory of Moses' day was much better. They spoke so highly and they diminished Christ is what they were doing. They belittled Christ. And so in reply to these false teachers, Paul begins to talk about this here in 2 Corinthians. Essentially, he says this. He says, we should be grateful for our blessings, what we have. But Paul says, what I really want you to know, he's summing it up, and all he's going to say is what I want you to know is Jesus gives so much more. He's so much more glorious than anything else in the law of Moses, than any of those things in the Old Testament. Jesus is the better glory is what he's saying. And so while reading this passage, it struck me. I was struck with the words glory. And we're going to read it in just a moment. and glorious. In just five simple verses, the words show up 10 times. Glory or glorious. It's as if the false teacher said, the law is glorious. And Paul said, no. Jesus is more glorious. It's not a good versus bad. It's a good versus better. Is what Paul is trying to say. What Jesus brings to you and I is better. So much better. How exactly is he better? And that's what we're going to look at today. How is the gospel? How is Jesus better? How is what he brings to our life so much better than anything else? Any excursion, any getaway, anything that we would hold dear today. How is the gospel, how is the Lord Jesus better? Well, we'll look at those. Let me give you that. Number one, and we'll read those verses. I'm not going to ask you to stand today, but let's read. Look at verse 7 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious, Paul says. In other words, the gospel provides life. And as good as the law was, it did not provide life. That's what he's saying. The law of Moses, by giving us a set of standards to live by, tells us what's right and what's wrong. But it can't inspire you and I to obedience. The gospel can. It can inspire you and I. As we are filled with the Spirit, as we love the Lord Jesus, we can be inspired. We can be inspired to obey. Because, in fact, the law by itself, in a sense, can inspire, can arouse us to even disobey. Suppose you're walking down the sidewalk and you see a sign that says, don't touch wet paint. What are you going to be tempted to do? You want to see if it's dry, don't you? That's kind of the way the law is, in a sense. It tempts us in a way. If there had been no sign, you wouldn't even bothered, would you? But because the sign was there, you were curious, you were whatever. You wanted to touch the bench. Is the law bad? Absolutely not. It's God's law. God give it to us. But Paul is saying the gospel is better. Because the gospel provides life. The law just helps you and I see what's right and wrong. The gospel is glorious. It assures us. It arouses us to obey. The law that shouts from Mount Sinai, thou shalt not kill or destroy or covet or worship or whatever it may be, other idols or any idols. That law cannot compel you and I to obey. It leaves me in disobedience. It leaves me as a repeat offender who wants to change but doesn't have the power to do it. The gospel provides the life, and it's better. Let me give you a second point that we see from the text in verse 9. The gospel provides forgiveness, not condemnation. Forgiveness, not condemnation. Look at verse 9. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Very strange way Paul puts it. The ministry that condemns men is glorious, he says. How can condemnation be glorious? Well, since the law comes from God, and even my breaking the righteousness of the law, breaking it proves the righteousness of the law, I'm condemned for doing wrong. Here's another way to say it. I don't break the Ten Commandments. I'm broken by the Ten Commandments. I don't break them. Essentially, they break me. The law upholds God's glory by punishing those who don't meet His righteous standards. But that's all the law can do. It can lead me to the foot of the cross, but it leaves me there. I need more. And that's where the gospel comes in. The law could, what the law could not do, Christ done, has done for us. Rule keeping produces nothing more sometimes than guilt and leaves us dead on the road. But when Christ enters into our life, when we allow Him to use us the way He wants to use us, we find a new life. We don't want to go back to that old life because there's condemnation there. There's unforgiveness there. We can try maybe, but we won't like it. We won't be satisfied because the gospel provides forgiveness. And what a great thing it is for brothers and sisters to forgive one another, for God to forgive us of our sins because of who we are and what we've done and because, of this sinful life. The gospel provides forgiveness. Let me give you the third truth we see. The gospel provides blessings, not temporarily like the law, permanently. Permanently. Look at what verse 10 says. For what glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory? And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? I love what Paul says there. He used the term fading glory. Fading glory. That's what glory does, most glory, doesn't it? You and I, we're doing well, things are going good. Maybe we go on a trip somewhere, or maybe we're just hanging out at the house, but life is good. And we're saying, oh, this is so glorious. And it may be temporarily, but it's temporary, isn't it? It doesn't last. The glory that we enjoy in this world is temporary. It doesn't last. Our health is temporary. Our money is temporary. All of those things that we put a little bit too much stock into is temporary. But the gospel that we've been saved by, the Lord Jesus saved us, those are blessings permanent. I ran across a story of a guy, you may have heard of him, named Dwayne Thomas. Dwayne Thomas in the 70s played for the Cowboys. And he was a star running back known who was a little bit unpredictable sometimes what he would say. And one of the years the Cowboys made it to the Super Bowl, someone interviewed Dwayne Thomas before the big game. And they asked him an interesting question. They asked him about playing in the ultimate game, the Super Bowl. They said, what do you think about playing in the ultimate game? And Dwayne said, if it's the ultimate game, why don't we play it again the next year and the next year? It's not the ultimate game is what he's saying, because we have to keep playing it. We may play it this year, but it has to be played over. You know what he was saying? He was saying the game is nothing more, as important as it is, as significant as all of the people of this world or this country put in that game, it is nothing more than faded glory. That's what he said. That's what he was saying. It's faded glory. It's fading away. You know, but in Christ Jesus, we have something that lasts forever. We are forgiven forever. We are justified forever, just as if I had never sinned. We are accepted into the bosom of God Himself forever. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb forever. We are delivered. We are delivered from death and the grave forever. We are reconciled to the Lord Jesus by the mediator, Jesus Christ Himself, forever. We are born again, born a second time, born from above, forever. You know, that's the whole point of the new covenant that we have with the Lord Jesus. God writes the law in our hearts and forgives us of our sins that we may be saved forever. That's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18 says this. Where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice needed. No longer any sacrifice for sin. Because the Lord Jesus sacrificed once, there's no need to do it again. You don't need another sacrifice for sin because the blood of Jesus covers all of our sins forever. Christ is all we need now and forever. You see, what Christ has accomplished for you and I, it should make us, when we trust Him, we should never be the same. Let me press one more this point home and we'll be done. Religion only makes us more religious. But Christ gives us something much more. He gives us a living hope. In other words, we're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what Christ has done. Christ is all we need. So let me encourage you, don't ever get caught up in the faded glory of this world, because all of it is faded. All of the things that seem important that the culture is trying to change us and teach us and pull us, draw us away from God, and all the things that even sometimes we get caught up as believers in our own family. This much of it is faded. Christ's glory is better. That's what He's saying. He's saying the glory of the Lord Jesus, really, after all is said and done, is all we need. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that Your glory is better, Lord. Lord, forgive us for being inoculated by this world. Forgive us, Lord, for being inundated and just putting ourselves in a situation that we allow this faded glory to burden us, to dwell, to encompass us, and we allow this faded glory, Lord, to be too much of us. Lord, may we separate the two. May we draw a line of demarcation in our life each day between the faded glory and between the glory of Your precious Son. Lord, thank You for this day that You have made. Lord, if there's some that are struggling, Lord, may they repent of that. They're struggling with where they are. They've gotten off track. May they repent of that today, right where they sit. Lord, if there's one or so that have just not trusted You, they thought they had, but You're burdening them, You're convicting them that if they die, they're not ready. Father, I pray that they would speak to Me, or right where they sit, they would just cry out to You for salvation and repentance. Lord, I love You, and I praise You in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. What number, brother?